Anybody see that? There's that light?
Kind of light.
There was a noise. Did you hear it?
Wait. George, what in the hell is going on?
Just lately I've been seeing things so clearly, I understand right away. I concentrate. And books, I can't stop feeding myself. I read two, three books a day.
Name as many mammals as you can in 60 seconds. Ready? Go.
Aardvark, baboon, caribou, dolphin, eel, hippus, fox, gorilla, hyena, ibex, jackal, kangaroo, lion, marmoset, Newfoundland, ocelot, panda, rat, sloth, tiger, unicorn, varmint, whale, yak, zebra.
Which puts us at
8 months. Now I see. By calculating the presence and the growth of the flies or the maggots, you can pinpoint the exact date of death.
What you did last night is highly irregular. No student ever left the school at night before.
How many times do I have to tell you that I didn't walk out on purpose? I walk in my sleep.
Sometimes I think he's driving me crazy.
I'm sorry.
These are things that can happen in a woman's life.
I know your mother was bad, but I want to help.
Hey, well, you are listening to Hysteria Continues, and this is Armand Mastriani, the director of He Knows You're Alone.
And welcome back to Hysteria Continues, episode 147, and this time we're getting another slice of the Argento. Not Argento, the dirt box Argento, but the Italian film maestro with his 1985 opus Phenomena. We were going to be joined, just a heads up, we are going to be joined by Johnny Krug from Kruger Nation today, but unfortunately he's been sidetracked, so we're hoping to have him on another show in the near future. But the gang is all here otherwise. So Eric, how are you doing?
I'm awesome.
Excellent. Well, glad
as always,
of course.
And I'm sexy.
Well, and are you kind of upset that there's a character in this film named after you?
There's no characters called Eric in this film.
Well, we'll come on to that shortly.
I knew you'd have something to say about this.
Nathan, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
I'm glad to hear it. I've seen some posts of yours to kind of flashbacks to your Federal Massacre. Like, what is it called? Your series?
The Old Federal Massacre.
Old Federal Massacre. And they're saying there may be a part four in the works.
I was joking about that. But my family really wants to do it.
Well, you should just do it one Christmas, shouldn't you?
Mm. What about the broom and the mop? Are they going to cooperate, or will you have to recast them?
Well, I think they've passed away since.
Oh no!
Doing Hackoween.
Oh.
Do you mean it was a snuff film?
It probably was.
Well, no, because the mop lived in the movie.
Okay, but it's passed away since.
Yeah, she. I'm imagining old age.
Okay, well, fair enough. Oh, very sad to hear. But Joseph, how are you doing?
You scare me. I got a little confused on what movie we were covering, so I made two intros.
Well, John Travolta is quite scary.
Yes.
Well, hopefully they didn't.
Especially alive where he's in his pants.
Pardon?
So is Eric Clapton as well. So.
Eric Clapton. That's the John Travolta movie where he plays an angel. I've never seen it, but I'm aware of it.
No, that's Michael. The other one's Phenomenon. He's like he sees light and he becomes like smart or something.
Oh, okay. Okay, I haven't seen that one either. So
shame it didn't happen to you, Justin.
I didn't need to see the light, Eric. I was always smart.
Ooh, whatevs.
Yeah, okay. Well, welcome back. And we, this time we are doing another listener pick. Whose pick was this? Was it an Alishan,
this
I imagine?
It was Ara Alishan.
Ara, okay. Well, thank you, Ara. This is, I've been looking forward to doing this one, so it'd be interesting to chat about it. Before we do, in time on a tradition, although it's only been a week, I think, since we recorded last, so let's catch up on what we've been watching recently. So, Joseph, do you want to go first? Has anything caught your eye?
Yes. The only thing I watched was... A new found footage film called The Monster Project, and it tries to do for found footage films what Scream did for slasher films. It kind of tries to dissect the genre, And it's an interesting premise. It's about these two guys. They basically make YouTube videos. They stage like fake monster sightings, like Bigfoot and, you know, devils and witches and things like that. And one of the guys gets the idea of trying to actually find real phenomena, as it were. So he puts out a casting call for people who think they might be, you know, evil in some way. So he gets a response from three people. One claims to be a skinwalker. The other claims to be a possessed girl. And then finally, the last girl claims to be a vampire. And they all meet at this house to do this kind of documentary. And whether or not these people are actually possessed or a skinwalker or a vampire, I won't spoil. Except to say, I like the premise of this movie and a lot, but I think it gets a little too cutesy for its own good, trying to be clever when I think it would have worked better as just a straight ahead found footage film. The ending just kind of goes off the rails, trying to be jokey about the whole thing, and it kind of bothered me. Plus, it has this one character who plays the main guy's sidekick. He is extremely, extremely annoying, so that kind of killed it. But I mean, other than that, it's not bad. It's one of the better found footage films. I mean, I liked what it was trying to do, but just not totally a success, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen that. I've seen trailers for that, I think. But I'll probably catch it when it hits Netflix, perhaps. Well, thank you. Anything else, Joseph?
No, I mean, it's only been a week, so. Mm,
okay, thank you. Nathan, how about you?
I watched a movie called Emily, and it's about this girl who shows up to babysit for this family one night, and she turns out to be a psychotic and starts playing all these weird, like, twisted games with the kids, and, you know, it's sort of like a horror thriller, I guess. And, you know, like she does weird stuff, at first, you know, making it look like they're going to hurt each other. And she lets them, you know, destroy the house, like right all over the walls and stuff like that. And she, has, kind of makes them watch a sex tape of their parents. So she's a little messed up in the head. And I mean, I liked the movie. I thought that the first hour was really good, and I thought it was building up suspense really well. But then it was really let down by the climactic scenes. I thought they were very sluggish and very underwhelming, because I just expected more for, like, the big battle at the end. And it's one of those things that when it's one of those situations where when the credits roll, you just kind of think to yourself, was that it? So I didn't dislike it, but I think if anybody wants to watch it, they should be prepared for an ending that's a little bit more underwhelming than you would hope for.
Okay, I've not seen that. Is that on cable, Netflix at the moment, or?
Well, I actually watched it on Vudu, which is the it's actually a legitimate site.
Okay.
Before anybody accuses me of pirating. Justin.
What? I wasn't saying. I was just kind of, you know, I was curious for our listeners to find out where they can see things. Eric.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I've not seen that, but anything else, Nathan?
Phenomena. And I will tell you about it, but only in due time.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you. Eric, how about you? What have you been watching legally?
Hey! I watched the Belko Experiment, Nathan saw earlier in the year, and he said it was quite good, and I would agree. It's very much reminiscent of things like Cube and Battle Royale, and there's actually a lot of it that's very similar to a film I saw a few years ago called The Human Race. So it's, you know, it's about these workers in an office block in Colombia who get trapped inside the building and are forced to kill each other off until only one remains. So it's not a new plot by any means. I wasn't a huge fan of Battle Royale, to be honest. I think I'm the only person who didn't like it, mainly because I thought, yes, I know, there was a bit too much quirky humor in it for me, and the film felt like it went on forever. It felt like it was about 15 hours long to me. Now, I've only seen it once. Maybe if I went back to revisit it, I would feel differently, but I didn't like it, really. Belko Experiment is a much tighter film. It's really short. There's plenty of humor, but it's not grating. It's done in kind of an action, US action blockbuster type humor there is in it. And as far as these type of films go, I thought it was one of the best. I still think Cube is probably my favorite of this type of humans put into a situation where, you know, they have no idea what's going on. They're trapped inside some kind of building or supernatural vortex of some kind. It got sniffy reviews, Belko Experiment. I was surprised, actually, because I thought it was pretty solid entertainment. I would recommend it. It's quite gory, but it's not grim, which I was glad, because, you know, the potential for something with this kind of setup is that it can be quite nasty and just mean-spirited. But this was kind of fun, I thought. So, yeah, I was surprised. Good movie. For me, anyway.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I've annoyingly, because Love Film is closing down, which is we've spoken about as the kind of DVD Blu-ray rental
place. But is the online streaming closing down as well, or is it just the DVD?
They don't have online streaming, do they?
Oh, do they not? Oh,
no,
sorry.
It's bought by Amazon, so you get Amazon Prime streaming. Mm. But I think you have to pay extra now for that, so I'm not gonna. Possibly not going to bother. I think there's another DVD Blu-ray rental place called Picture House, which looks quite good, so I might look at that. But I've just looked on the film. They haven't got the Belko Experiment, because obviously they're closing down on literally on Halloween night, I think. So they're stopping buying new films, which is even more.
It's annoying. On iTunes if you want to rent it there. Oh, that way.
Okay. Oh, I might well do that then. So thank you. Do you remember, Nathan? Have you had any more thoughts about the Belko Experiment?
Oh, I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, it's probably my favorite because of those type of films, because while I love Cube, I was let down by the ending to Cube.
And there's some dodgy acting. There's some dodgy acting in Cube as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the ending to Cube was phenomenal.
I got to disagree because, I can't really say it without spoiling anything. Darn it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to say something about the ending of Belko Experiment, because it's very like another film, but I can't, otherwise it'll spoil it.
Mm. Well, we could talk after the...
Yes, after show. The credits.
After the credits, yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you. Anything else?
No, that was about it for this week.
Okay. Well, the only film I've seen this week is, I saw it on Netflix, was The Bloodlands, a.k.a. White Settlers, which is a kind of well-worn story, but it's set in Scotland. It's an English couple move up to a remote Scottish farmhouse, and then they basically get menaced by locals in pig masks. And it stars, it's Pollyanna McIntosh, who was in Lucky McKee's The Woman. And it's okay, it's a bit ho-hum. It's got some interesting bits. The ending's a bit different from what you'd expect. But it's very much, it's kind of a bizarre thing in so much it's kind of like this kind of weird thing, because you've got these English people moving to Scotland, then being menaced by Scottish people. So it's this kind of weird whole kind of almost like, I don't know if you remember Eric back in the 70s or whatever, there was a whole thing in Wales where people would be burning down people's holiday homes.
Wait, are you saying Eric did in the 70s?
Sorry?
No, I had nothing to do with that.
the way you mentioned it, you said, do you remember Eric back in the 70s burning people's houses down?
Well, he may well have done. I don't know. But no, do you remember Eric back in the 70s? There was a spate of kind of Welsh nationalists that were burning down sort of people's holiday homes.
I don't recall that.
No. Okay, well, there was. It's along similar lines, but not quite. It's just this kind of... But it's a kind of weirdly jingoistic, but like anti-Scottish, but not... It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. But anyone else seen it?
No,
it definitely goes into that kind of slasher movie. It's kind of like The Strangers, but not stylish, but certainly kind of has that kind of, you know, like very much like The Strangers, or maybe more like You're Next, but not as good as either of those, I wouldn't say, but maybe worth a watch.
I'm not mad on Home Invasion. movies.
It's got an interesting ending, which I hadn't seen done before, but it's not what you'd expect. But yeah, it's kind of worth a watch. But it was kind of one of those ones you put on Netflix and then do something else while it's on, kind of thing. It's not. It didn't really grab my attention much. But I haven't watched anything else, I don't think, in the week since we recorded. So the only thing I'm sort of looking at, are you looking forward to It at the cinema? Because that's coming out next week.
No.
No.
Yes.
I am.
No.
No.
Okay. I'm going to see it opening night. I'm very excited.
Well, this will probably come out the week after. This episode will probably come out the week after It opens. But I'm looking forward to it because I love the book and I enjoyed the first part of the TV.
I'm totally in agreement with you on that. I love the first part of the movie when they were kids. That's the best part of the movie with Tim Curry. And I really like the book too. So I'm really excited to see what they do with this one.
Well, we kind of evenly split down the middle, which sounds like
Saturday night. I think we've discussed it before. I hated the TV miniseries, both parts of it. I thought were dreadful. So that's why I'm not excited. And I wasn't a fan of Stranger Things either, which this looks like it's riffing off quite considerably. So,
what this looks like,
I don't really find clowns all that scary.
No, neither do I.
I like the first part of the original miniseries. You know, not a great deal, but you know, it was passable. I don't know. I'll probably see the new It. I mean, it's getting some high marks. So, but I'm just not in a rush to see it or anything. I'll probably wait till like when it comes on like Amazon or Hulu or something.
I don't necessarily find clowns scary either, but I feel like the story behind It itself is very creepy. You know, the whole idea behind what it is, and I won't spoil it for anybody that hasn't read the book or saw the original film, but I thought that whole idea was kind of wild. I mean, the idea that, you know, he lures kids so he can kill and eat them, I mean, that's kind of crazy.
But also in the book, it's a lot darker, isn't it, than the version they put out on TV. There was a lot of elements in the book which they didn't put on TV. Adaptation.
Oh yeah, they changed the whole ending.
But so I mean, so you don't find clowns with painted faces scary, Joseph? Have you seen that toy video? It's a mystery.
Ha 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 ha! I knew you were going to
have seen that. There is Asylum is doing a mockbuster of It called That. It's basically about Eric in the sewer luring down construction workers.
Hey,
so he can eat them.
Oh. Oh, Joseph.
I'm so disappointed now because I thought you were being serious. And I was like, I was only watching Asylum ripoff.
Oh, well, yeah. See, this happened before. I said when Pacific Rim come out, I said, oh, you watch, Asylum will make Atlantic Rim. And they did. So yeah. I think they're still my ideas.
Okay, I hope so, because I would love to watch like a ripoff. I think it'd be hilarious.
Well, there's still time, isn't there? So, without further ado, should we go into the main feature and play you the trailer for Phenomena? And Joseph, you're coming in with the intro after this, are you?
Yes.
Okay, here's the trailer.
Jennifer is the new girl in a strange school. She's taunted by her classmates, haunted by a deadly secret.
Not normal.
And caught up in a murderous wave of terror.
When the murderer hides his victims, he likes to keep in physical contact with them.
But Jennifer's got a few million close friends.
Insects never. I love all insects.
You're in a position to do extraordinary things.
And she's going to need every one of them. Creepers.
That fly is your magic wand. Ask him to lead you where the dead bodies are hidden, and he'll lead you.
From one of the most acclaimed masters of suspense comes the chilling tale of a young girl trapped in a web of evil. Dario Argento's Creepers. It will make your skin crawl.
Jennifer Corvino, who is able to communicate telepathically with insects, is sent to an eerie Swiss boarding academy for girls, where the students are being butchered by a vicious serial killer. Guided by wheelchair-bound bug specialist Dr. McGregor, Donald Pleasance, she must find the killer before he finds her. I think Phenomena might be the first kind of non-Argento movie, and yet it has that definite Argento kind of schizo, go-for-broke, joie de vivre about it, all the same. It's definitely one of his more polarizing efforts, I think, with many Argentophiles, you know, kind of writing it off as a slip in an otherwise, you know, till now, well-oiled cog of a filmography. The quote-unquote girl communicates with insect storyline is completely bonkers and yet not completely without basis in Argento's past. I mean, there's mention of, you know, creepy crawlies telepathically processing information all the way back to, you know, all the way back in Deep Red. So what may appear to be a has he lost the plot moment is actually a long kind of gestating device, at least in my opinion. It's far from my favorite Argento effort, but I think it doesn't quite get the credit it deserves either. I mean, I love the pool of maggots scene. The deformed child and the reveal, it's very kind of don't look now. I really love that moment. And, of course, the razor-wielding chimp, whose name we shall not mention.
Don't you dare.
For obvious reasons. Let's just say that chimp went on to be a very successful podcaster.
That chimp and I have nothing in common.
I mean, those are all great little touches. I think on the downside to this film, Jennifer Connelly, beautiful as she is, she's unfortunately, you know, kind of a wooden boar here. And Donald Pleasance's accent becomes so thick and warbled that you may need subtitles to understand much of his kind of expository dialogue. But I think this is Argento taking something kind of wild and delirious, plot-wise, and, you know, of course, putting his trademark kind of visual touch on it. You know, plot, acting, and even pacing be damned. And you're saying that it's business as usual, of course, but this business is a little, at least a little more daring and further outside the box than what you'd call the typical Argento norm. So I'm going to give it a, you know, a marginal thumbs up from me. And I do have a lot more to say about it, but for now I will pass it over to Justin.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think this film is utterly bonkers in a lot of ways, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I was just, when I was watching it this morning, I was thinking, I was just comparing it to Inferno and just thinking what a difference 7 years makes for a film director. This is obviously kind of, it's kind of such a hodgepodge, sort of mishmash of stuff going on. And it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of, whereas the, like a film like Sleepless, his kind of Return to the Giallo was seen as a mega mix greatest hits. This is kind of like a greatest hits of Argento, but sort of turned up to 11. So you have this kind of, you have beautiful scenes like the opening scene with his real life daughter Fior, and the difference is it's kind of set in the Alps, but it's kind of, there's lots of comparisons with, say, Suspiria. You've got like, there's kind of, he's nodding to himself, you know, he's self-referencing himself quite a lot in this film. So you've got the girls' school. You know, you've got some of the voiceovers, various things like that. You've got the American girl coming to a strange country instead of Germany. You've got her going to, I think it's Switzerland, isn't it? And so you've got all these different things going on, but then you've got the kind of utterly bonkers kind of stuff going on within it. And this kind of, you know, it's definitely a giallo. I don't know, we've had this kind of, it's very controversial to say whether Suspiria or even Inferno as giallos, but I believe that they are, in so much that they've been taken, and this film is, they've kind of been, the giallo template has been taken and Argento's run off in different directions. It's obviously also that high octane feel to it that you had with Demons a couple of years before he's brought in. And I used to hate the kind of the heavy metal in Demons and in this film, But having said that, now I think it kind of, with time, I've kind of mellowed over that. I think it kind of adds a bit of a cheesy charm to the film. The thing that kind of I find difficult with the film is that is the use of the chimp. I'm not a great fan of, for obvious reasons, of using real life animals in films, and certainly chimps. There was infamously an accident on set where the chimp bit Jennifer Connelly and partly severed her finger and had to be reattached. So I find that difficult, that aspect of the film difficult. And I think, especially considering, there was that story, wasn't there, not so long ago, with a woman who had her whole face ripped off by a chimp that escaped from a private zoo. So you're thinking how badly things could have gone wrong. So it wouldn't have been great for that chimp. But having said that, I think the idea of like the insects and all of that is just so kind of over the top and batshit crazy. And then you've got, I think Argento's winking at himself and having fun, like the girl with a Bee Gees t-shirt and the girls at the school are even more cheesy and silly than those ones in Suspiria. So he's amping everything up to 11. And I love Daria Nicoldi in this, especially when she goes off the deep end towards the end of the film. And say, if you haven't seen the film, then, as always, we do spoil these films, as you know, because we're presuming you've seen them. But she turns out to be one of the killers, and the other killer is her deformed son. Joseph's talking about shades of Don't Look Now. But then Dario Argento kind of bizarrely kind of references the end of Friday 13th in this film with the battle on the beach between Daria Nicoldi and Jennifer Connelly. Although obviously Friday 13th didn't have a razor wielding chimp in it, but also the later sequel to Friday 13th sequels, like Part 6, Jason Lives, with the fire on the lake and the killer under the water and all these kind of things. It's kind of an interesting why he did that, whether or not that was on purpose, and I presume it probably was, because I'm sure Dario Argento is well aware of the he had one eye on the box office, and I believe this is quite a successful film for him. And at this point, he wasn't going for the jet set kind of people who went to see Bird with a Crystal Plumage. He was very much trying to get into the cinema kind of teenage boys who liked heavy metal. And so he would have been well aware that the popularity of the Friday the 13th movie. So, yeah, it's an interesting mishmash of kind of like beautiful scenery and beautiful music and heavy metal silliness and over-the-top gore and chimps with razors and all these things. It's kind of, yeah, some very cheesy dialogue, especially from the headmistress, who comes out with some great howler one-liners. But, yeah, it's a film I like. I've got reservations, as I mentioned, about the use of the chimp, which I think is unfortunate. But overall, it's a film that definitely has its charms, and it's kind of grown on me over the years.
Okay, Nathan.
I obviously saw this under Creepers, and you remember. Do you guys know the artwork where it's like Jennifer Connelly on it with half of her face is like a skeleton, and the insects are behind her in the background?
Yeah,
that's. I the artwork always jumped out at me, so I had to see it. And I rented it when I was a lot younger. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember the opening scene really freaked me out, because you don't see what is pulling at the chains, obviously. So, my mind as a kid made up all this, like, crazy stuff that could possibly be this thing pulling on these chains to try to get at this girl in the beginning. And those scissors at the beginning were insane. They were huge. What do people need scissors that big for? I know I'm digressing here, but I guess I was just thinking about that just now. So I kind of interrupted myself. But no, I love Phenomena. It's it's probably one of my favorite Argento films, and I know that might be a controversial opinion. Maybe, I don't know. But I really think it's awesome. I liked it a lot more this time around when I watched it. Like Justin, I'm not a big fan of the chimp, the being used in the film. I would have preferred that was just left out altogether. because I think the whole idea of her, you know, controlling insects should be good enough. And the scene, you know, where all of these girls are surrounding her, you know, and bullying her, and you guys know what scene I'm talking about, right? Where they bully her, and then she calls all the insects, and they all see. Now, if I was her in that scene, you know, instead of fainting, which I know it probably drained all her energy or whatever, but I would have looked at all the girls and I'd have been like, see what I can do. Now things are going to be changing around the school. And if you like try anything else like this with me ever again, I will call some wasps down on your ass and then you will not be having a good day.
I can see you doing that with one hand on your hip and the other with the hand with the finger waving.
Yeah.
Not only is he,
don't you ever try to bully me again. Okay. Because
not only is he becoming, not only is he becoming rhubarb lady, but he reminds me of that kid in that Twilight Zone where he can do stuff with his mind and everyone's having to tiptoe around him.
Well, they would have to tiptoe around me, like, not at all, but they ain't going to bully me.
Think happy thoughts.
Yeah.
The minute any bullying went down, I'd be like, you better hope you're not outside because there's a hornet's nest right over there. And all I got to do is snap my fingers and they're going to be on you like wine on rice.
So, psycho.
Don't you ever try to bully me again. You know what? I bet you that wouldn't bother me anymore.
Yeah, are you hearing? Are you taking all this in, Justin?
Sorry, I am.
Because my lawnmower is stolen, bitch, by a fucking pig.
So we know where this could go. So okay.
Well, Justin, I hope your house doesn't get overrun with flies later. Because you know what? I just sent a telegram to my fly buddies and said, you know what? Justin made fun of me, so I need you all to pay him a little visit.
Yeah, but you don't know what I've got control over.
Ooh.
Eric's emotions.
God. He's no control over my emotions.
All right. Well, without further dudes, I wanted to say that I really liked the decapitation at the end. I thought that actually was startling the first time I watched it. And, you know, there's also that scene where, you know, they're having their like little battle on the beach. And Daria Nicolotti's character is saying, you know, why don't you call your insects? Go on, call them. And I'm like, why aren't you calling your insects? Are you going to let her cut your head off? No. The insects would have been called, and, you know, she would have been covered up in them. I'll be like, okay, well, you might kill me here, but you know what? My insect buddies are going to kill you in a much more painful way. Sorry about your luck.
Very sassy.
I don't like bullying at all. So the scene where they bully her, I'm like, oh, you're not getting it. You're not going to be doing this. No way. But I digress, I guess. But overall, no, I really enjoyed the film, and it's certainly one that I would rewatch many, many times. So that's my 2 cents and my 5 cents.
And your fly cents.
Well, yeah, but they're on their way to Justin's right now. So
yeah,
okay. I'm watching. I've got the window shut because I know I've seen the swarm.
Oh, tell them I said hey.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
They'll know what it means.
Eric. Eric.
Yes.
What do you think of Phenomenon?
Okay, well, I think it has the best opening sequence probably of any Argento film. I love that opening 5-10 minutes of Phenomena. The remote Swiss setting is stunning to look at. And the scene of Fiore Argento being chased and ultimately beheaded is riveting. It's after that I feel the film kind of loses its way a bit, and it takes a while for it to find its feet again. It meanders for me for maybe, you know, 30, 40 minutes after that scene. I do love the scene early in the film, though, where Daria Nicolodi gets freaked out by a bee in the back of the car, and she does this sort of half-hearted "ooh, get that bee away from me, ooh." not as camp probably, but you know,
you didn't sound a tad bit camp.
Okay. The lackluster dubbing may be, you know, to blame on in this occasion. I'm sure maybe her actual onset voice might have been more convincing. I'm not sure about Donald Pleasance's Scottish accent, though. He has no excuses. It seems to waver quite a lot during the film. Did you pick up on that, Justin?
Yeah, well, I did sort of hear that they spoke in English, but I don't know whether or not this film, because quite often they were filmed without sound, weren't they, Italian
productions? Yeah, I got the impression it was dubbed afterwards from the sound quality, but yeah, it's definitely Donald Pleasance's voice trying to put on a Scottish accent, but it's not successful 100% of the time, I don't think.
And also, why? Why would he need to be Scottish? Doesn't really make much sense.
Exactly. Why? Yeah.
My issue is that I couldn't really understand anything he was saying. I actually had to use subtitles in a lot of his scenes.
Yeah, I meant to ask, which cut were we all watching? I was watching the, I suppose what it's called, the international. No, it's the one, the longest version, the Italian version. I think it is called. It's 115 minutes.
Is that the one with the occasionally breaks into Italian with subtitles?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, was anyone watching the Creepers cut only for this podcast?
No, I haven't seen the Creepers cut since the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time either. I'm wondering, like, some people say it plays better, and I'm beginning to think it possibly could, because I do find Phenomena is a bit too long. There's a point when Jennifer Connelly is pulling up to the school for the first time, and you hear this voiceover narration coming from out of nowhere. Some guy says, "And thus began Jennifer's amazing journey," or something like that. Mm. And,
yeah, at the something school for girls. I'm like,
yeah. And like, where are you coming from? And then the narration doesn't appear again in the rest of the movie, as far as I could tell.
Well, that was a bizarre. It's Suspiria, wasn't it? With Susie Banyan. I presume that's where I kind of took it. It's Suspiria.
Okay, to tie it more to that, maybe, yeah. Mm. What does mar my enjoyment of the film, again, as you've said, is the heavy metal music. I still don't like it in there. I feel it kind... Well, the film is stupid and silly, and that's a compliment in my book, because it means it's entertaining. I do feel that the heavy metal music kind of cheapens the movie to an extent. There's scenes where you're supposed to be feeling suspense, or there's supposed to be... it should be really a quiet moment, and it's punctuated by, Motorhead or Iron Maiden. I mean, there's a scene where Jennifer is watching Donald Pleasance's body being taken out of his house by, ambulance men, and there's press there and there's police, and it's supposed to be... you're supposed to feel a sense of sadness, maybe, but it's all played over this really, really hyper, super fast Motorhead song, and it doesn't, like, the two don't mesh together. If you're going to, force heavy metal into the film, put it at sort of more appropriate moments. There's a scene where Jennifer is trying to reach for the phone. The door is locked, and she has some kind of long pole thing. I know lots about them. And she's trying to reach for the phone. And again, there's an Iron Maiden song playing while she's trying to do that. And there's just no sense of suspense, in my opinion. But there's a lot I do love in the film. As you said, the plot is a mixture of slasher and giallo and bits of the supernatural. Telekinetic insects, deformed psychotic children. I like the fact Jennifer Connelly plays the daughter of a major Hollywood movie star, although that doesn't really play into the plot all that much. It feels almost like Linda Day George as a professional tennis star working as an undercover cop. It's a bizarre character trait to give a character in this film. Yeah, I did spot all the Suspiria throwbacks as well. The school and the teachers with their slicked back hair, who all look very stern and sinister. And then there's about 15 people in the film get their head shoved through windows, which happens a lot in Argento movies, but particularly in Suspiria. So in the second half, the film really picks up for me when as we said, spoiler alert, when Frau Bruckner is revealed to be a few, sandwiches short of a picnic. I feel Daria Nicolodi is brilliant. She goes way over the top, and she's pure, pure Mrs. Voorhees. You were saying the finale reminded you of Friday the 13th, and like, she's completely, totally off her head. So I think it's a good movie, but not an exceptional movie. I think it starts to show the signs that Argento was on the decline a bit. But that's, I still think his more recent movies are pretty watchable, even things like Mother of Tears and Dracula 3D. They're obviously probably watchable for reasons that Argento's not intending, but I still find them entertaining. But Phenomena is a really good movie. I just feel that it's not as good as his 70s work, particularly Deep Red and Suspiria, which is where he peaked, I thought. And then this is the sort of sign of him. Even though it had quite a high budget, I still think the film looks a lot cheaper than some of his earlier films. I don't know if anyone else feels the same, but I would probably be in agreement with Joseph on this one rather than Nathan. I think it's a it's a thumbs up, but not a big thumbs up. I mean, it came out recently on a huge four-disc Blu-ray set from Arrow, and I think it's a sign of how what my thoughts are on the film that I wasn't even tempted to buy it. So,
Well, funny enough, I didn't buy it. I had the original Arrow Blu-ray release, so I just
yeah, that's that. That's the one I have as well. And I thought, do I really want to upgrade? If I liked the film more, I would, because there's all the different cuts, and I haven't seen the Creepers cut since the 80s on video. And there's a new, there's a new 2-hour, 15-minute documentary on the making of the film. But it's just, how often would I watch it? I don't know, because it's just not up there with Deep Red for me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the Creepers cut would probably, be the best cut if you're just kind of if you're in a hurry to watch something. I just wish, if they're going to cut something in Creepers, I wish it wasn't all the violence. I mean,
is that what's cut?
I'm assuming Creepers, if I remember correctly, it's like 89 minutes, but it's mostly a lot of the violent stuff cut out. They should have kept the violence and just cut all the kind of, just kind of the banal stuff and just tighten it up. I do agree. I think the movie is a little too long. I mean, the version I watched was an hour and 49 minutes. That's pushing 2 hours. So, we're always talking about how, these movies, they really don't need to be any longer than 90 minutes.
Would Creepers make any sense, though? I'm wondering if you have to take out, he's taken out 20, 25 minutes of the film. And it's a bit silly and incoherent as it is, but God.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that Creepers VHS, which was released, I think it was on Media here. I could be wrong, but it's been so long since I've seen that cut. I don't really remember how kind of haphazard and goofy it is. I mean, maybe I need to go back and watch it again, but I just seem to remember it just kind of cutting away before it gets to any kind of, violent encounter. So I'm assuming that's what's cut here. But I would do away with a lot of the kind of perfunctory moments, take those out, leave the violence in. It'd be a much stronger movie. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie at all. I liked it a lot, but, it's definitely, maybe Argento kind of going a little too over the top in places.
That scene that where she's, picked up by the two German boys in the car that could go easily, although it does have one of the best lines in the film where she jumps out of the car and the boys run back to her, and it's in Italian, but it's dubbed as, "Hey, that's shitty."
Yeah,
I was gonna say also, just little moments like where she's reading the letter that she wrote to her, I think it was her mother, her father, I can't remember. The way they edited this scene, like she could have got to the point reading the letter. She's like, "Dear Dad," hold on, let me just scroll through the letter here. Oh, here it is. "Dear Father," or "Dear Mother." It's like they could have just kind of cut little stuff like that down and, shorten the running time.
I did like the way that the headmistress, who's played by who was in, she's in Flesh of Frankenstein and a few Giallo, I think, in the, is it the girl in the yellow pyjamas? I can't remember anyway. But she, when she sort of turns up and she does that one sleepwalking, doesn't she, when she, and they go back and they tie her down to the bed and force a kind of EEG thing on her head. And I was thinking, she's only been out once sleepwalking. And they're making out, it's their doctor saying, it could be a sign of schizophrenia. And I think it's complete overreaction. And then, but of course, by the time she kind of, like the fly stuff, she's going, she's diabolical. She's the lady of the flies, Satan, so. So I'd like to see their Ofsted report. it was kind of, I think it's again, if you like compare this 5 years before this, he was making Tenebrae, which again was kind of slightly,
3 years.
Three years. Yeah, sorry, I think 87 wasn't. I think it was 87 because it came out on video in the UK under the title Creepers in 1987. I think it's very.
Yeah, I'm just
very
looking at that on the BBFC website with a running time of 79 minutes and 31 seconds. It was cut by 17 seconds for release over here.
Yeah, I think it was cut quite a
lot. Oh, so that's 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes off then, I guess.
We'd have the faster frame rate, which would account for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, but yeah.
But I think it would, it may have been pre-cut. I think it was put out by Palace. You're right. It was only 3 years between Tenebrae and this, which is, but I think this is kind of very much informed by the success of Demons, wasn't it? which was the with Lamberto Bava. It was kind of like that, kind of finding a new audience, whereas Tenebrae probably was the last hooray for those kind of like, say, the smart set, or, you know, where his films were actually properly popular with a wider audience. And I think with Demons, he kind of, he tapped into the teenage audience, and this was very much in that, with that in mind, I think.
So which would we prefer, Demons or Phenomena? I would vote Demons, I think.
I think Demons, I think Demons, probably.
I go Demons 2.
Demons 2?
Out of the three.
Demons 2 as in Demons T-O-O, or Demons 2, the film Demons 2?
The film Demons Part 2.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my favorite of the three.
Because it's got Sally in it, and Sally's a total.
Yes. She makes the film.
I just think Demons has that kind of that roster of just off-the-wall characters, whereas Phenomena, I found the characters, I mean, I like them. They're just not as, you know, wild and crazy here. You know, Jennifer Connelly, I think she's boring here. I'm sorry.
Donald, she's kind of monotone.
Donald Pleasance, I can't understand. I was more interested in Daria, I'm just going to call her Nickelodeon because I can never pronounce her name right. I was more interested in her and, you know, the dwarf son, and as bad as I hated the way it turned out, I was even more interested in the chimp than I was Jennifer Connelly.
I mean, she was
character-wise, anyway.
She was only 15 when she made this, wasn't she? So she was very young.
She was 13.
13?
Well, she was born in December of 1970, and this was filmed in the late summer of 1984. So she would have been 13, going on 14. Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. she looks older, I think. I would agree.
Yeah, because originally Suspiria was meant to be, they were all meant to be little kids, weren't they, in Suspiria? That was his original idea, was to, and so he shot everything with the door handles higher to make the kind of grown adults or the young women look younger. But so he actually kind of, that's why this is not exactly a remake of Suspiria, but actually to put in younger girls, you know, into, well, the Jennifer Connelly sort of character. Again, if you imagine the kind of, I don't know what the rules are about children working overtime and all that kind of stuff, but working with dangerous animals, like, you know, potentially dangerous animals like chimps. So you're putting a 13 or 14 year old girl with a, you know, it's a, you know, but then Italy in the 1980s is probably a very different place to filmmaking today.
To Hollywood in the 2017s. Mm-hmm. Health and safety didn't exist.
No, probably not. So I did wonder if it's her diving off that boat when it's on fire. She seems to do everything else in the film, didn't she? All the stunts.
I think she did have a stunt double, though.
Oh, did she? Okay. Mm. Okay. Well, fair enough.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
This is getting into background a bit, but Argento said that she was kind of reluctant to take on the role. She was the one who was offered the role originally, and she said no because she didn't want to work with a chimp because she was scared. And I think she had justification there. Yeah. And also she didn't want to do – there was a nude scene that was supposed to be in the film, which is weird if you're going to be casting a 13-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. They managed to persuade her in the end. Obviously, the nude scene was taken out of the script. I don't recall seeing any naked 13-year-old girls in the film.
No, well, Argento's got that kind of weird, because it's all the stuff where he can, you know, he always killing his wife in the films, isn't he? And then showing his daughter naked and raped sometimes in films. So there's a kind of weird dynamic with Argento movies, isn't there?
Definitely.
So, or should we get into some background then? Who would like to, Joseph? Do you want to go first? Is it your choice?
Sure. The budget was estimated at, this is what I've read, $3.8 million. I couldn't find any of the U.S. box office grosses. I'm not even sure it played here at the theaters. I can't remember. But in Spain, it only made $203,000 in Spain. Apparently, the production dates were May 1984 to September 1984. The actual filming took place in June of 84 through October. That's what I've read, anyway. No, I'm sorry. The filming dates were August to October. But the production basically lasted from May to October of 84. And it was released in 85. Not here. I think here is released in 87 on VHS. I can't remember if it got a theater screening here or not. As we said before, Jennifer Connelly had part of her finger bitten off by the chimpanzee. In the final scene at the end of the film, she was rushed to the hospital and the finger was reattached. The chimp was becoming agitated, so Argento told Connelly to kind of maybe, you know, basically, he told her to kind of calm the chimp down, and when she tried to do that, the chimp just kind of lashed out at her. That's what I read, anyway. Argento often cites this film as his personal favorite among his works. Maybe it's because he was allowed to kind of go, you know, a little more batshit crazier than normal. There was a proposed sequel to Phenomena that was going into production in 2001, but it was canceled due to Argento's contract with Medusa. The Patau syndrome used in this movie is an actual syndrome, which is caused by a chromosomal abnormality. Sorry. Argento calls the child Patau, even though he is never named during the film. And the dubbing on the child at the end, where she goes in and turns the child around, basically to reveal that it's a deformed kid, that was done by Eric.
I hate you.
And that's pretty much all the background I have on the film.
Okay, well, thank you, Joseph. Nathan, have you got anything for us?
No.
Oh, okay, well, thank you. Eric, how about you?
Yes, I have a few things here. I was reading Profondo Argento, which is an Alan Jones book that came out probably 15 years ago now, and there's lots of information in there about Phenomena. He said that Argento had been reading in an American magazine about how schizophrenics and sleepwalkers had an affinity with insects, and so he then spent 18 months studying insects before writing the script, which seems like an awful lot of research for a film that's so batshit nuts. The school setting was inspired by Argento's stay at a Zurich clinic, where he went on a sort of a vegetarian detox, and they were quite strict about the patient's diet, and that's where the inspiration for the sort of school setting, I suppose, that and a throwback to Suspiria. The location used in the film is actually called the Swiss Transylvania, as mentioned in the film, and the wind known as the Fon, F-O-H-N, I think that's how you pronounce it, was thought to drive people insane, and it was also said to cause the birth of monsters, as it would cause pregnant women to be knocked over by the strength of the wind. As Joseph was saying, it was shot between August and October of 84. It was the first film made by DAC, which was the Dario Argento company, which means he probably had more autonomy than before, which is why it's so nuts. Patrick Bachau, I think it's how it's pronounced, he plays Inspector Geiger, the one who is captured and chained to the wall. He was also simultaneously working on A View to a Kill, which, in my opinion, is one of the finest Bond movies, mainly because it has Grace Jones in it with a diagonal haircut. Let's see, what else do we have here? Luigi Cozzi, of course, the director of Contamination and The Killer Must Kill Again and Star Crash. He did the some of the special effects in the movie, including the fly swarm, which he says he was inspired by the effect they did in the Swarm, the Michael Caine movie from the late 70s, by putting coffee granules into water. Let's see what else. Fiore Argento, that is Asia Argento's half-sister. It was from Dario's first marriage, so Daria Nicolodi is not her mother. So she was only 14 when Dario cast her in Phenomena. And she is now, she went on to be in Demons, but she says that the other cast and crew on Demons treated her so badly that she left acting. They were saying that she only got the role because of nepotism and they treated her really badly. So she went on to become a fashion designer instead, although she did make a reappearance in a brief role in Sleepless in 2001. This was the first film from the writing partnership of Argento and Franco Farini. Farini had already written films like Rings of Fear, Nothing Underneath, and the Ruggero Deodato movie Dial Help. And Farini said that he and Argento actually met Tim Burton once, and Tim Burton said that Phenomena was a favourite film of his, and that parts of it had inspired the Winona Ryder character in Edward Scissorhands. I'm not quite sure what bits, but they also said that they wanted to put a Stephen King influence into the film. They were planning the film around the same time that Firestarter and The Dead Zone were both being released, and both of them had leading characters with telekinetic or telepathic powers of some kind. So that's they saw that Stephen King style films were appealing to the mass market, so they put in that element. Inga is the name of the chimp. Yes.
Yes.
The character of the chimp plays is called Inga, but the actual real chimp is called Tanga. So there you go. And Argento originally wanted Peter Ustinov to play the role that eventually went to Donald Pleasence, and he wanted Liv Ullmann to play the part of Frau Bruckner, which she declined. And the headmistress role was originally offered to Isabella Rossellini. And I think that's all I have. Yes, that's all I have to say now until my amazing joke of the week.
Okay, well, we can look forward to that. I just funny now you're saying that actually with the filming dates of 84, then that predates Jason Lib. So perhaps
yes. Although,
So perhaps the this film inspired Tom McLoughlin and whoever wrote Jason Lib's to have that fiery ending. But I was but I think it still is pure Friday the 13th, the lakeside and the decapitation and the Mrs. Voorhees inspired character. So it's funny how that cross fertilization between American and Italian movies was still kind of in full flow. The thing I read, which I thought was really quite interesting, was there was a game, the Japanese video game Clock Tower, that came out in 1995. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that game. With a killer with giant scissors who basically kills young girl, well, sort of teenage girls, and there's a character called Jennifer in it, and there's a whole list of the comparisons between Phenomena and Clock Tower. There's lots of similarities in that film, so that's quite interesting to look at. I played that on the PlayStation 1 many years ago, so I don't remember it that well, but so that's quite interesting. I did think with Jennifer Connelly, because obviously she went on to become quite a big star, and she's kind of still very much in demand now. And I searched kind of high and low really to find if I could find anything about what she thought about this film, because a couple of people saying that given that she very rarely mentioned, it's almost like it's one of these films that she'd rather not remember. But I think there was an interview, I think, when she was in Dark Water, the Japanese horror remake, again with some symmetry there with Clock Tower. But I found a very brief sort of mention. She said of her time with Phenomena. She said, "On Dario, he was fantastic. It was a kooky movie, and he was a really outrageous character whom I had a lot of affection for." So she clearly, she does look back on that presumably with some kind of fondness. I found another quote which I thought was quite interesting about from Dario Argento himself. He just said, "Phenomena was inspired by something I'd heard about insects being used to solve crimes, and because insects have always fascinated me, I began to make a story around this idea. You know, it's becoming a terrible thing, but there are many insects that are disappearing, becoming extinct, but most people only want to kill them. You know, insects have souls too, they're telepathic, amazing. People want to save the whales and dolphins, nobody wants to save the insects. I'm vegetarian because I don't want to kill things to eat." So it's kind of, it's Argento, you never get a dull movie of Dario Argento, do you? It's kind of, there's always something outrageous in it. And so, but I was glad to read that, unlike people like Holly Hunter and, Rooney Mara and people like that, Rooney Mara sort of kind of who've kind of turned their back on their horror movie past, that Jennifer Connelly, well, at least at that time, had some affection for this movie. I'm just thinking if there's anything else. I think probably covered everything else. I think we've everything else has been covered. So anything else left to say about Phenomena?
It's not bad, phenomenal. Not best John Travolta movie.
Well, the only other thing I was going to say, because I remember, and I might be remembering this wrongly, but this, on Scream Queens, when they covered this, they kept on playing this.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
So, yes, thank you for that earworm, Patrick. But It was kind of, it's one of, did anyone else, every time you say phenomena, suddenly starts thinking that?
Yes.
Well, you will now, anyway. So, well, how about joke of the week? Because I'm sure it's got some, okay, well, here we go. Are you ready?
It's my joke of the week. It's so, so fantastic.
Who is the hottest bird in the cast of Phenomena? Donald Pheasants. Pheasants. Sounds like pheasants.
You whore!
Boo.
Oh, a sign of things to come.
Yeah, it's a sign of things to come. Well, thank you, Eric. And we'll tell you that actually that there is a little clue there for our next Patreon pick. So, Eric, that I would like to say that was one of your best, but I would be lying.
You're really mean.
You should have used that joke for Halloween, Eric. When we did Halloween.
Oh, yeah. No, Eric.
You're a great person to have 6 years later, Nathan.
Well, hindsight, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good that you keep trying, Eric. You're very trying. So, not really. We love you, really, Eric.
I know you do.
Yeah, so, okay, well, thank you, Eric.
Because I am so sexy.
Yes, of course. And for another quality joke of the week. So, well, we're going to be, let's have a look. We got some feedback, because we kept some feedback over from last time. Tell you what, it makes sense to do after the credits now, doesn't it? Because we're still.
I want to hear the jingle.
Oh, yeah, here's the jingle. So, Nathan, what happened after the credits?
Well, I like to think that after the credits, Jennifer went on to live a very fulfilling life with, you know, many insect friends. The danger was completely over, so I don't think she had to face that anymore. And I feel like, you know, a few years later, she got locked in a store overnight and found love.
Why would you get locked in a store overnight? But
it's career opportunities.
That was another Jennifer Connelly movie.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
But no, I feel like, in all fairness, this Jennifer, I just think that she went on. She probably had to have some therapy, but I think that, you know, she got past it and, you know, is living a very happy life today. Maybe only slightly haunted by nightmares of, well, thank you, Boomer. slightly haunted by nightmares of this horrible past.
Well, I think that the sequel picks up right at the end of Phenomena, where she is arrested for all the murders, because people are like, of course you have telepathic communication abilities with the insects. Oh, yeah, and of course a chimpanzee came along and killed Frau Bruckner. It wasn't you at all, was it? Mm. So
she's arrested. Can she prove?
No, she can't. She can't prove it, because it's my movie. And, and so she goes to prison, and then she dies.
That's a grim, grim ending.
Yeah, I haven't really thought it through.
Mm. Well, I was wondering, is the obviously a sequel? Well, there was going to be a sequel, wasn't there? So, and presumably there was a script written, or certainly an idea behind it. So, I wonder what that would have been about. But Joseph, have you had your say yet? You haven't, have you? What would you think?
I think she'd go on to telepathically kill people with two-sided dildos.
Wow.
You're thinking of Requiem for a Dream. Dream.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Well, that could have happened. She would have been very useful at picnics, wouldn't she? Because she would have been able to keep wasps off your food. So,
add Jason's wasps. Did you just ever go away? And they'd be like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know, but did the little dwarf killer is presumably dead. But of course, as we know in Crystal Lake, and this the Italian version of Crystal Lake, then the killer in the lake is never dead. So I wonder if the deformed now, already horribly deformed, but then now without a face, comes out as this pint-sized kind of like incredible melting dwarf and goes on a killing rampage.
Now, that would be good.
Yes, that would be good.
I would watch that. Mm. But what do you think happened, Justin?
No, that's what I think happened.
That's what you think happened?
Yeah.
He just I watched that for a dollar.
Well, let me just say this. He might have, but there's no way he showed up at the beginning of the sequel and took out Jennifer Connelly. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Jennifer Connelly finds all of her fly friends in the fridge, and then he appears behind her with a...
He killed all the flies.
Yeah.
Well, she goes on to ride many a quarter horse. That scene.
Yeah, well, maybe
her opportunities.
Maybe she falls in love with Adam Ant.
What?
Wow! Wow.
That should have been your joke of the week.
Thank you, Eric.
That was clever.
Thanks.
So, okay, well, thank you. Is that that's after the credits. So we got some feedback coming up, and this is how you can get in contact.
We have a lot of feedback.
We have, and this is how you get in contact with the show.
The content of this podcast was provided by Justin Kurzweil, Eric Frillfall, Nathan Johnson, and Joseph Henson. If you enjoy our program and are willing and able to provide a donation, please visit us on Patreon and become a content designated subscriber. That's patreon.com/thehysteriacontinues. For non-subscriber PayPal donations and general feedback, our address is the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com. To listen and interact, simply search for The Hysteria Continues on iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Susie versus Toya forever.
Okay, and please do get in contact with the show. Many of you already have. And talking of Patreon picks, I'm not sure this is going to be going out before the next Patreon pick, isn't it? So people will have a chance to subscribe to...
Yes. This will be out a week or so before, so I guess you could... I think everybody really pretty much knows what we're covering next for the Patreon picks. If you want to go ahead and mention it.
Well, it's...
You whore!
Yes.
Yes.
Go fuck yourself.
Well, actually, I've listened to Eric's intro for Werewolf Woman, and it is rather spectacular. So you will be missing out unless you, sign up to support the show. And with lots of extra content, well, half an hour shows, that's kind of extra content, isn't it? But it's jam-packed full of witty banter. Well, not witty banter. Yes. It's jam-packed with wittering and some jokes. But, that should be fun. We're recording that straight after the show, so I'm looking forward to that. But feedback, who would like to go first?
I have one.
Do you want me to... Well, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. No, Joseph, I forgot the phenomena, the feedback on the Facebook group. Yes, if you could do that first, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. This one's from Jan Libar. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Many years ago, as a 17-year-old, having bought Demons 1 and 2 in the HMV sale, I became obsessed with tracking down Argento-directed films. While on a family caravan holiday, I found Creepers in a smelly old secondhand shop, hidden under 10 copies of Toya's Greatest Hits on the first day, and spent the rest of the week looking forward to going home so I could watch it. I wasn't disappointed. Loved the atmosphere, the music, even the incongruous metal bits, the violence. Only later did I find I was watching a shortened version. Over the years, I've bought it so many times. The German DVD, Anchor Bay DVD, then the Blu-ray. Even bought the original Italian soundtrack CD. Definitely one of the most fun Argento titles. It's monkey-tastic. It's timeless, other than the Bee Gees t-shirt the one girl is wearing. That was Jan Libar. Let's see. Mike Alishan says, this is definitely one of the greatest Argento films, probably right outside Argento's top five. The cinematography in this film is absolutely stunning, especially the opening scenes in that gorgeous landscape. Switzerland was such a choice place, and the score to the film is excellent. The rock and roll bits were a bit jarring, but I got used to them, and I think they work okay. But yeah, basically, Phenomena is phenomenal. And then Ara Alishan says, Let's see. What does he say? He says, it was submitted so long ago that I can't quite remember, but I'm pretty sure this was my first listener pick. What can I say? I absolutely adore Phenomena. I might even say that I'm a little bit obsessed with it and have gone so far as to collect various forms of media from around the world just to gather as much of the gorgeous artwork created for the film as possible. The 3D Holocover Ultra Steelbook DVD from Germany is a thing of beauty. Speaking of beauty, Jennifer Connelly has always been a personal favorite of mine. I think I fell in love with her the first time I saw Labyrinth back in the 80s. She was absolutely perfect in this role, and it's a shame she didn't do more genre films. I haven't even mentioned the late, great Donald Pleasence or his razor-blade-wielding chimp, but I suppose I've rambled on long enough. As controversial as it may sound, Phenomena is my absolute favorite Dario Argento opus, and that's really saying something. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Thank you, Ara. The Giallo Room says, hold on. As discussed in our Blu-ray comparison video, we would be interested to see if you guys viewed this film as a giallo or Italian horror. We tend to lean towards giallo. What did you guys think? Is giallo? I don't know. I wouldn't call it a giallo.
No, I don't get giallo from it.
I do, don't you think? Because it's like people being killed one by one by a mysterious killer, and it's a whodunit. So it's definitely
it doesn't really have that crime. Shallow.
The black gloves,
the crime aesthetic, the detective work, and all that stuff is kind of
But I think it's definitely it's a hybrid of the giallo.
I'd say a hybrid.
Let's see. Tom Virtuoso says the U.S. version Creepers eluded me for years on the video rental shelf since I figured it was just another insect horror film. But I love that it's basically Jennifer Connelly as herself not giving a fuck in Europe while helping Dr. Loomis and his pet chimpanzee solve a serial killer mystery. The soundtrack is fantastic, and the entire final sequence when she is trying to escape the house is very well done. John Matthews says, one of my favorite Argento films. What more can you say? A fantastic soundtrack from Goblin. Great cast and a seriously what-the-fuck ending. First discovered this gem on VHS. Our Australian tape was called Creepers. However, interestingly enough, it was not the U.S. cut. Us Aussies actually got the longer European version, and that's the one I know of. I finally saw the Creepers cut this year on 35mm at the Hollywood Theater in Portland, Oregon, while I was on holidays. I must admit, I actually like the Creepers cut. It has got better pacing, but does cut out a lot of key character scenes. Bob Hartshorn says, not one of the master's best, but light years from the stinkfest Argento expert slash boyfriend Alan Jones would have you believe. Phenomena has much to like within its wonky frame. Mr. Pleasance is in pleasingly hammy form, and Jennifer Connelly lights up every time she's in. The lady is almost too beautiful for the screen. The gore effects, whilst occasionally hokey-looking, are always in tune with the content, and as is the pulse-pounding music score from Goblin and Company. The heavy metal choices, however, can get to fuck. Whatever he means by that. I guess he means fuck off. Anyway, rounding it off are the bonkers contributions from telepathic insects and razor-wielding chimpanzees. Genius! And trivia fans, this is apparently Tim Burton's favorite Argento film. So there, me like the phenomena. Let's see. Graham Wright says, while Suspiria will always be my favorite Argento, Phenomena is my most watched. I've seen this at least 50 times and love everything about it. From its amazing score, beautiful visuals, and its enough shocks to fill a cardio unit last 15 minutes. Rick Curzon says, get the deluxe Arrow set from the UK. Has all three versions, plus a great new 120-minute retrospective, a 60-page book, and a Troy Howarth commentary. Okay. Wes Ray says, the opening sequence murder with that incredibly creepy synth score by Bill Wyman is almost flawless. Argento at his best. After that, I'm afraid this one is hit and miss for me. It has some very good sequences, but I feel like the film's balls-out weirdness undermines the more effective slashery aspects. Solid, but for me, it's my least favorite of Argento's classic era. George Eduardo Ospini says, I love this one. The atmosphere of phantasmagoric Argento is one of my favorites in all filmdom. The feel of the opening and later sequences of a young girl, Fiora Argento, and later Jennifer Connelly, exploring the mountainous Swiss Transylvania to the stains of Bill Wyman, accompanied by some excellent atmospheric wind noise, have stayed with me for years. Argento excels at fairy tale logic, and this one has it in spades, from a maggot-covered homunculus to a razor-wielding chimpanzee. So many unforgettable images. I just finished going through the recent Arrow release, and it only helped to deepen my appreciation for this most unusual of slashers. Let's see. David Cook says, love this movie. Agreeably bonkers. Any movie where a razor-wielding chimp is the movie's hero gets my vote. I'm just about old enough to remember this being released, though I never saw it at the time. I remember reading about it. Jenny Hall Cameron says, I'm always down for a chimp hero. Love the score and landscapes. First saw it as Creepers and didn't like it, but once I saw it as Phenomena, it was so good. Don Anelli says, solid, enjoyable enough. Maybe crams a few too many plot lines into it, but there's still plenty of fun to be had here. Brennan Klein says, I think in either cut, it's way too messy, but it's kind of fun to see how much Dario Argento clearly hates little girls. Lawrence Adams says, this is as good an excuse as any to get the Synapse Blu-ray. And finally, David C. Millay says, I like Johnny Krug. He's cute. So there you go.
Well, thank you for the feedback. That was a lot of it. So obviously sometimes some of the films that people pick, Nathan, we don't get a massive amount of feedback on it. But
well, how dare you? That's all I got to say.
I can see a fly on the window. Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. I take it all back.
They're getting there.
Yeah, they're getting there.
That was Billy.
Oh, was
it? I've named all of them.
Yeah, Steve the will be along soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Bob the fly. Yeah.
So, okay, well, thank you. Nathan, have you got a bit of feedback for us?
Yes, I've got several. So okay. Here's the first one. Mm-hmm. Hello, guys. I'm a brand new listener and highly enjoy the show. Y'all have made me want to revisit all these slashers that I haven't seen since I was a kid. Slashers were my go-to when I first dived into the world of horror. If I can suggest a movie I would like y'all to do on the show, I would suggest The Mutilator, which actually we've actually done since then, I guess before or after he had sent this feedback. He goes on to say, The Mutilator has become one of my favorites, only behind Madman, which has a special place in my heart from viewing too many times in my youth. Also, The Mutilator was filmed in my state at a beach I have been to a few times, so it has that going for it. Hope everything is going good with y'all and hope to hear more episodes from you in the future. Thanks for the show, Grayson. So thank you, Grayson.
Thank you, Grayson.
And actually, check our – I mean, if you haven't listened to it yet, we did The Mutilator not too long ago, actually.
We did indeed. Yeah, indeed we did.
And I've got one more here that says – Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time emailer. I think I've listened to most of your episodes at least three times. You make my monotonous day job go a lot faster. I'm a big Jell-O fan, but for some reason, I tend to go for the weirder ones. I love, oh, Lord, Ercole. Is that how you say this?
What, the director?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Ercole Death Walks movies, and for some reason, I really love The Night Evelyn Came Out of the Grave. Can't really explain it. Oh, yeah. I love Evelyn. Can't really explain it, but I love the sleazy vibe and that wonderful Bruno Nicolai score and how Erica Blanc comes out of that coffin in the strip club. So cool. I love the Sergio Martino jelly and my favorite, oh, my goodness, Boomer. How many times you got to shake, buddy? I love Sergio Martino Gialli, and my favorite Giallo of all time is probably Your Vice is a Locked Room, and only I have the key. So I'm always thrilled to hear Eric defend it on the podcast. Oh, there you go, Eric.
No, I don't remember defending it on the podcast, but I do like it.
Recently, I did a hospital slasher marathon and watched Halloween 2, Visiting Hours, Bad Dreams, and Hospital Massacre, a.k.a. X-Ray, none of which I had seen before. I loved all of them. I love movies with claustrophobic atmosphere, but I think my favorite was probably also the worst, Hospital Massacre. I just love the paranoia and absurdity. So much fun. I would tend to agree with him on that. I love some Hospital Massacre.
More than Halloween 2?
Well, I shouldn't say that. Halloween 2 is obviously a better film in just about every possible way, but Hospital Massacre is just is the cheesiness. I can't deny how much I love that. Let's see. He goes on to say, I'm an independent horror filmmaker in Portland, Oregon, and I'm in the midst of a crowdfunding campaign for my new short film, You'll Come Around to the Idea. The inspirations for this film are impending parenthood, and my wife and I are expecting twins in November, and all the jelly I've been watching, especially Lizard in a Woman's Skin and The House with Laughing Windows. I would be thrilled if you could watch our proof of concept trailer and share your thoughts on the podcast. And he sent the trailer and links to his Indiegogo campaign. He says, keep exploring the depths of cinematic depravity, and I pray you will do more giallo episodes in the near future. Thank you, and may the hysteria continue forever. That's from Brian Hittner. Hiltner.
Thank you, Brian.
Sorry, Brian, if I got that wrong. Now that I read this, I'm like, we should watch the trailer and see what, you know, we have to say about it. So I'll send you guys that link. And we could talk about it, you know, maybe next episode.
Okay, yep. That sounds good. Have you got have you got a link for his Indiegogo? Maybe you can.
Yeah, I'll send both.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you, Brian. Anything else, Nathan?
Just this one right here that says, "Dear Hysterians, Nathan is the greatest and most handsome person on the podcast. Sincerely, NJ." Wonder who that could be.
NJ. I wonder who that could be. Yeah.
Michael Jackson?
it's an N.
NJ. It sounds like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it sounds like I think Eric has sent himself.
No, I think that was sent by the broom or the mop, one or the other.
Well, yeah, they're my biggest fans.
Yeah. You sure it wasn't from
HT? No, that's
HT?
All I have.
It wasn't HT.
What?
HT? Hazel Tankersley?
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, excellent. Well, thank you, Nathan and NJ, for finishing that off.
You're a very handsome boy, young man.
That was my Hazel Tankersley impression.
Eric, would you like to go next?
Yes. Okay, I got one here from Shane Lambert. He says, hey, guys, I just recently became aware of your podcast. I just finished listening to the Body Count one. I think your podcast is one of the most entertaining things I've ever listened to. It almost feels like hanging out with friends. It's so cool to be able to spend time with people who love the slasher subgenre as much as myself. I thought I had a good knowledge of slasher movies, but your podcast has made me aware of so many more. I've watched each film before listening to the subsequent podcast. I'll admit I've had to resort to alternative means to get most of them. Baby Jesus looks down on me, I know. I also recently bought a copy of Teenage Wasteland, written by Eric Threlfall. Great read, Eric. Thanks. That's my, the book I wrote. And it's available as I released it in the States as the slasher movie book.
How did you? Oh, well, I'd have to pick up a copy, Eric.
Yeah. I'm soon to embark upon Island of Blood, but from what I've heard, I feel I should be afraid. Mm-hmm. Hopefully all is well with all of you. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Shane Lambert. And thank you, Shane, and thank you for the nice words about my book that I wrote by myself.
Yeah, my lawyer will be in touch, Eric.
Oh, okay, then. Teenage Wasteland is written by Justin.
Yeah, I've got a fly lawyer. So.
You're sending Dave and Steve over to me.
Yes, yeah. And Bob.
Do we cheat him now?
Yeah. Okay, I've got another one. Thank you for that, Shane. I've got another one more here, if you want. Mm-hmm. This is from Mark Borland in Dundee in Scotland. He says, hey, dudes, thank you so much for reading out my last email during your Hitcher podcast. It was such a big surprise, and I've annoyed all my friends by playing it to them. I'm on the Day of Judgment Skullduggery episode at the moment. What a classic duo of films they were. I seriously cannot get enough of this podcast, and let everyone who listens to me to listen... And let everyone who listens to me to listen to the Hysteria Continues. Sorry. You guys are so funny. Thanks so much for helping expand my film collection. I'd love you guys to discuss F, a.k.a. The Expelled, on a future podcast, or for a true test of your patience, Frozen Scream, which kind of has slasher elements. Word of warning, I've attempted to watch Frozen Scream about 4 times and can't make it past the 35-minute mark of this 70-odd minute atrocity. So good luck. Also, really loving your mini Patreon episodes. Apologies for what feels like such a long email. Just had lots of thoughts going on. Keep up the brilliant work, guys. And that's from Mark Borland from Dundee in Scotland. So F.
Now, we did discuss F in a recently seen. A long time ago.
That's the one with the teacher and being chased by hooded entities. Chaps, yeah. Well, yes, we don't. They kind of have. You can't see their faces, so they're almost have a supernatural feel, don't they?
Mm, that's right. Yeah.
I thought it was quite good. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was great, actually.
Mm. I didn't realize it had an AKA of The Expelled, though.
I think in the States
it was re-released. Yeah, re-released as The Expelled.
All right.
And Frozen.
Have you seen it, Nathan?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry,
Nathan? I was on mute. I had a plane flying over me.
But... All right. Have you seen F, AKA The Expelled?
Wait. I did see that. I saw it under The Expelled, actually.
Yeah.
No, you saw it under F. We watched it at Grant.
Are you sure it was under The Expelled? Yes.
No. We saw it under F, and it was later released as The Expelled in the States. Okay. We saw it when it came out.
I thought it was awesome. I was one of the only ones that thought that, but I thought it was incredible. I thought it was absolutely fantastic film, to be honest.
Mm. I loved it, too, actually. Yeah.
Well, okay, what do we think of Frozen Scream? I think I've seen Frozen Scream, and I didn't think it was that bad. I think I managed to sit through the 70 minutes, if it's the film I'm thinking of.
Is it the one with John Travolta's sister in it?
Let me have a look.
I think it is.
Let me have a look.
Isn't Frozen Scream the cult movie?
It's the one with AKA Human Experiments, wasn't it? Or is that a different movie?
No, I think this is a 1975 movie that was on the Video Nasties list.
Okay, wait a minute.
Directed by somebody called Frank Roach.
Right, okay, maybe I'm thinking of a different film. Human Experiments, the one
with insect
connection
right there.
Sister, I think. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This is the one I'm thinking about. Frozen Scream also has the same soundtrack as Don't Go in the Woods, which you guys know I love that soundtrack. So, yeah, it has all the classics.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. All the classic music. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's even got that dirt.
Okay, it's not the one I'm thinking of. Then I'm thinking of something else that has Frozen in the title. Yeah, so I'm looking at the cover here of Frozen Scream from Intervision Video from 1983, and I don't recognize it at all. But do you think, is it a challenge to sit through it for 70 minutes?
I mean, I don't think it's a challenge to sit through it. I mean, it's if you like 70s movies, I think you at least find some enjoyment out of it. I mean, I liked it, but
says
then again,
Nathan Johnson.
It's me.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder if Don't Go in the Woods took the music from this, or was this a re-release and they used Don't Go in the Woods music?
It's a re-release.
It's the same guy, H. Kingsley Thurber, and he originally did this music for Frozen Scream, but then he reused some of it for Don't Go in the Woods. If you ask me, it works better in Don't Go in the Woods.
Yeah. Music, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I used to have some of that music like on... one of my old iPhones, and I would listen to the soundtrack.
Oh, Nathan.
Only you, Nathan. Only you.
No.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, come around to my party. Let's listen to the soundtrack to Don't Go in the Woods Alone.
I also like to listen to the soundtrack to House of Death.
I don't even remember what the soundtrack was like to that one.
It's like the Price is Right music.
Yeah.
The bombastic kind of come on down.
Oh, yes, yes. Wow. Okay, that's all my feedback. Justin, do you have any?
Yep, let me just get it up.
Woo!
Okay. So actually, this one is from Grayson. So it's a follow-up for his email. He says, "Hey, everyone, just wanted to send some feedback on some of the shows I've been listening to from you all. First of all, I love that you all covered Martino's All the Colors of the Dark, even though it was weird for you all to do. I don't even consider it a giallo, let alone anything close to being a slasher or having the tropes. After saying that, I loved the film and was lucky enough to catch it screening at a theatre by me, which was amazing. Secondly, I wanted to say I enjoyed the Mutilator episode. It was very insightful. I was surprised to hear my final girl lives in Greensboro, which is my home away from home. My girlfriend lives in Greensboro, so it made the Mutilator come closer to my heart. I just got the Arrow Blu-ray of it yesterday, which was great timing. I was having a slasher movie marathon. 16 slashes in 2 days. Have any of you ever done a slashathon? One last thing. I had a fun time listening to your commentary on Absurd, and I'm waiting for Madman to come in the mail to listen to that commentary you all did. Thanks. So I highly enjoyed it. Thanks, Grayson. So I'm presuming it's the same Grayson, but it might not be. But I'm presuming it is.
Must be.
Must be. I'm sure it must be. So, yeah. So as far as kind of the slasher movie marathons, I kind of guess we've all done it to some degree, but maybe not 16 in 2 days.
No, I don't think I could handle that much. I mean, I went to the horror movie festival in Dublin once and sat from 10 in the morning till midnight watching horror movies, not just slasher movies. And that was, as good as the movies were, it was kind of an endurance test. So yeah, I don't have the attention span to be watching too many films back to back. I think two at a time is about as much as I can cope with.
Mm, fair enough. What about you guys? Nathan, have you ever done a slasher movie marathon?
Yeah. I watched like some of my favorite bad movies. I think one night me and a friend of mine watched Don't Go in the Woods, The Last Slumber Party, Terror at 10 Killer. I don't know if we watched a fourth one or not.
Oh, why wasn't I invited? I would have loved that, Nathan.
But Nathan, hold on a minute. You said bad movies.
Yeah, like so bad they're good.
Okay.
See, that's what I think of, like The Last Slumber Party and Terror at 10 Killer.
Yeah.
I don't think they're actually like good movies, but I think they're so bad they're good.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I say bad in an affectionate way.
I know, just like we all do.
He says bad like in a kind of hip-hop way. Man, those films are bad.
Well, we say bad apart from when you talk about Axum, and then that is just bad.
Yeah.
Mm. I've never had a marathon with Axum as part of the lineup, though.
Mm. Well, maybe that's the time to start. Yeah. Joseph would like to go.
Well, Eric, you're invited. You're invited.
I'm washing my hair. I'm washing my hair. I'm washing my hair.
Hollywood's New Blood.
Washing my hair.
Joseph.
And a Day of Judgment. That'll be our four.
Gosh.
I like Day of Judgment.
I did too.
Joseph, what about you? Have you sort of had any slasher movie marathons?
Not for a long time, but yes, I have in the past. Like you, I don't think I have the attention span for it anymore. As much as I love these films, I can watch one or two and then I have to go get up and do something else.
Shouldn't it be a slasher movie Snickers now?
Oh, Eric.
No, well, I don't know if Nathan and Joseph would get that reference. Snickers used to be known as Marathon over here.
Marathon bars, yeah.
Yeah. Why weren't you laughing then?
Do I ever laugh at you? Why break precedent, Eric?
So, anyway, moving.
But Snickers is a candy bar.
Yeah, and it used to be known as Marathon over here until we joined the rest of the world and rebranded them as Snickers. Hence my hilarious joke.
Marathons?
No.
Do you have marathons?
Oh. Oh, I thought you meant that Snickers was a bar that they used at, like, marathons. Like, it was, like,
no,
a sponsor.
No, it used to be called Marathon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's early in the morning. I'm a little slow.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
The wacky tobacco, methinks.
No. I did not smoke this morning. So, I have on several podcasts, but I'll let the listeners decide which ones those were.
Yeah,
the ones where you said Terror at 10 Killer is a good movie.
Yeah, and you burst out laughing at random moments.
Yeah.
Like the
I got the munchies.
Yeah, like the girl.
Oh, you talking about like when I laughed at Eric's jokes?
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you!
Hey, you used my line.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one last one, very short one here. It's kind of, actually, this isn't feedback, just offering full emotional support to Justin. Short you must be as devastated as I and heartbroken as me about Love Film. Hope an equivalent appears soon. Love to all, Mike Tomlinson. We already mentioned that. Say, just for your info, apparently there's for people in the UK, there is a company called Picturebox. If you look them up, then they offer exactly the same service with about 70,000 films. So that's probably worth checking out. So, or Eric has a movie service, I believe.
Well, I used to use one of these postal movie services as well until they closed down too about a year ago.
Oh, what was that then?
It was done by our National Post Service on Pust, they're called, and it was more or less like Love Film. But I presume this is the way it works for Love Film. Is you send them a list of films you're interested in, and then they just send you one randomly off the list.
Yes.
So the ones that tend to be at top of my list, I would never get. I'd get the one sort of I was, halfway down the list.
That is a problem sometimes, yeah. So, So, okay, well, thank you for... actually, Joseph, do you have any more to read out? Or...
Yes, I have a couple little ones here.
Okay.
It says, hello again, gentlemen. I want to drop in again and tell you that early this upcoming year, I will be going to a convention in the city I live in, and Kane Hodder will be in attendance. If I'm able to do so, I will record him doing the usual This Is the Hysteria Continues opener for you guys and send the file your way for future use. While he may not be a favorite... While he may not be a favorite Jason of the show, one Jason is better than none at all. Aside from that, my question to the show is this. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Texas Chainsaw film? As far as I'm concerned, the chainsaw has got to run out of gas at some point. Sincerely, the Hobgoblin.
I was listening to the latest episode of Shockwaves, which is a podcast I really like, and they were saying that the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre is diabolically awful. Sorry, Nathan.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard it's getting it's being compared to Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean, I've been disappointed when I've heard that myself, but I mean, I thought the trailer was a little ridiculous with the whole her giving her son a chainsaw for his birthday as a little kid. It just seemed a little silly to me. But I mean, I'll still go see it, of course. It's a Texas Chainsaw movie.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be anywhere near as good as like part one or even like probably part four to me.
Is it even coming out of the cinema in the States? Or is it going straight to video on demand?
I think it's going to video here.
Yeah. Yeah, because isn't it from the same people who did Inside? It's a French director, isn't it? Which is kind of it's an origin story, isn't it?
Yeah, so, but they've done
those.
One of them is wasn't there Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning was an origin story as well.
It's kind of
Nathan.
I'm trying to remember because it's been so long since I've seen it. I know it's a prequel to like what happened in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I can't remember if it's a. I do feel like they try to explain away Leatherface in the beginning, so yeah, I think they do try to go that route. So I'm surprised they're doing this all over again. I'm like, why is everybody going nuts over origin stories? I mean, that's stupid. I mean, it takes away the mystery of the original. We don't need origin stories. Just keep making sequels for crying out loud. Mm. I mean. Quit trying to be so original. I don't care where Leatherface came from. What I care about is the next group of teenagers he's going to be hacking up with his chainsaw and meet
them.
And Sledgehammer.
Hell yeah. Preach it, sister.
Justify!
I swear to God, next director that does an origin story is getting the insects.
I'm so sick of origin stories.
Yeah.
And goths. I'm sick of goths.
Oh, Eric. You love them, really. I bet you sit in a bra and black bra and panties in black eyeliner with a Susie wig on, don't you, and touch yourself.
It was so ridiculous. I don't wear the black eyeliner.
But you wear bra and panties and touch yourself. Well, there you go. Came from your own lips. But, okay, well...
One more here.
And Joseph's got one more before Eric has a chance to reply. So carry on, Joseph.
Yes. Hello, I hope everyone is well. Thanks for all the entertaining and informative podcasts. I wish the channel all the best for the future. I wanted to ask Justin if there's any more news of a possible UK reprint of his Teenage Wasteland book.
My book.
Also, do you perhaps know if there are any rumblings or rumors of a possible Region B or Region Free Blu-ray release of Superstition and or another Blu-ray issue of My Bloody Valentine. Thanks again. Best wishes, Douglas. I don't know about those Blu-rays, but Justin can answer about his book.
Yeah, I've not heard any rumblings about Blu-rays. I have asked about Superstition because I thought that would be one that we'd like to be involved with, but I've not heard any rumblings about that, but that would be a great release if there was.
And it's so suitable for it. Would fit right into the Arrow catalogue with, you know, Mutilator and Blood Rage and all that type of stuff.
It just probably depends who owns the thing, because I think it did get a UK DVD release. About 5-6 years ago, maybe longer, I can't remember. But it's certainly, there's digital versions of it out there. That would be a good one to do. As far as my book, I've submitted the updates. So I've written an extra... I think it's an extra. It's going to be 4 or 8 pages, and it's going to be. So it's not a major redo, but it's an update. So it's adding in. It's going to be adding in. Basically, what's happened since 2010. So the past 7 years. So it's updating that, and also updating the international slashing to bring it up to date as well. So that is due to be published, I believe, it will be coming out early-ish next year. But
is that a physical copy or ebook?
Physical copy, both in the States and the UK, hopefully. So, so I'm also going to be talking in it about things like the TV Scream, the TV series, Slasher, Harper's Island, and also the I'm going to be touching on the video games as well. So bring it up to date for stuff. So yeah, hopefully it's not going to be a major redo. It's an update rather than a complete new edition. But hopefully there'll be enough in there for people to find interesting. So yeah, that should be, as far as I know, I've submitted the copy, and I think it's been approved. So as soon as I have more details, I'll let you know. So there you go. So is that all our feedback?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you to everyone who's written in. I think, well, the last thing I can guess is, Joseph, do you have an update on the game?
Not this episode, because we're recording out of whack, but I can announce what we're going to cover next time.
Okay, yes.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be gone for almost a month. We're going to come back in October around Friday the 13th for Jason X.
Excellent, yes. And we're hoping to be joined by...
Well, actually, we'll be gone a month, but the episode will be gone just a little over... There'll be a little over a three-week break between episodes. Mm. I'm confused because we're recording out of whack, so never mind.
Yeah, well, we're going to see it... Well, yeah, there may be a slight break in transmissions, but we will be back... Like Jason, with Jason X for Friday the 13th. We couldn't quite bring ourselves to cover Rob Zombie's Halloween for Halloween this year, but who knows, maybe one year we can have another drunk cast. And
or maybe a major drunk cast to get us through that.
We do have Halloween plans, though, so...
Yeah, we do. Maybe we could have a heroin cast to get through...
Oh, yeah.
...through Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Wow.
Or a horse tranquilizer cast. But anyway... so we're gonna be back, and also say, you know, we will be releasing a week after this episode the Werewolf Woman Patreon pick. So if you are a supporter of the show, tune in for that. And if you're not, then please sign up. You can do so as for little as a dollar, I think. Is that right, Joseph? Yep. So a dollar for quality entertainment.
Though if you want to give more, that's great. Yep. But
For quality entertainment or go elsewhere. But for as little as a dollar, you can hear Eric shouting, "You whore," for half an hour. So, So what we—that's
basically what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. What are we playing out with on this?
Justin, can we just say that we're hoping to be joined on Jason X episode by Gore Blimey from the Trilogy of Terror podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Look, very much looking forward to that. So it'd be great to have him on the show and all the double entendres he will bring. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can bring back the let's have a look. What could we bring?
Oh, patron. I'm not that kind of doctor.
Well, I'm just looking to see if I've even still got that. It's been such a long time since...
Matron, no, please, hold your hand.
There we go, that'll do.
That'll do. So maybe a little bit of that and who knows what else next time. So, yeah, well, thank you for listening and say goodbye to... We're off to space with Jason and God blimey next episode. So thank you for listening and say goodbye to the good people. And what are we playing out with before I...
This is Sleepwalking by Goblin.
Okay. And as we know, Eric enjoys a bit of Goblin. So, say goodbye to the good people.
Goblin chunky Kit Kats. Yeah. That still sounds rude. Sorry.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. I don't want you there.
It was a very insincere fantastic.
It wasn't. I was thinking, I was looking.